I want to talk to you this morning about coincidences. We all experience them. We probably let a lot of them go by without even noticing that they happen. But let's start on a lighter note. I want to tell you a story about a pastor and a council president or vice president, not Holly Grove, of course, that were at odds with each other all the time. After some time of conflict, the president told the pastor they needed to have a meeting to try to resolve their differences. So they did. The pastor, president, and the entire council sat down together. After a while, it became obvious that no compromise seemed possible. So the president says, let's have a vote, and the majority wins. Once the votes were tallied and given to the president says, Pastor, I'm sorry, but you lose 10-1. The pastor gets up, bags his fist on the table, says, you do not understand. This is not a votable issue. This is God's directive, and this is the way Jesus tells us to do it. Then he looks up, says, Dear Lord, please give us a sign that we understand that this is your will. A bolt of lightning comes out of the sky, and the table splits in two. Smoke fills the room, and virtually everything is burnt in great disarray. It was no coincidence that the pastor was totally unscathed. The president says, okay, it's 10-2. I first became conscious of the varying types of coincidences in my life when I was a teenager, back in the 60s. I was listening to a local top 40s hit radio show when I heard the DJ say that he found that coincidences stopped happening when he stopped praying. What a statement. Let me say that again in my words. I find that coincidences stop happening when I stop praying. Obviously, the declaration made quite an impression on me, as I still remember it 60 years later. And all that, and of all places to hear it, from a disc jockey on a top teens radio program. Was it a coincidence I was listening that particular night? I don't think so. I wouldn't be here talking about it right now if it weren't for that DJ. As my life progressed, I began to realize that there were too many coincidences in my life for them to be coincidences. God has always been with me, whether I'm aware of it or not. I want to share three major coincidences in my life that just were too big to have been a coincidence. They had to be divinely inspired. First, the way I met my wife. I was stationed in the Air Force down in Biloxi, Mississippi. I was only 3 months into a 4-year tour. While I had always figured I would get married someday, the first 3 months of a 4-year tour of duty with the whole world as a potential assignment was not the time to get romantically involved. This was 1965. A lot of men were going to Vietnam. Again, not a good time to get involved. I was stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi, and a friend of mine got a weekend pass to drive over to Pensacola for the weekend. We left Friday afternoon, had a good time in Pensacola. Sunday afternoon, as we came back to Biloxi, you have to go through Mobile, Alabama, and you have to go through the Bankhead Tunnel, which just goes under Mobile Bay. At the time, it was a toll tunnel, a whole 25 cents each way. As I was paying my toll, a redhead in the lane next to me was paying her toll. As we pull out of the toll booths at the same time, she waved me to go first. I waved thanks, and she was kind of cute. I waved a second time, and she waved back. We played cat and mouse around town for a few minutes, then pulled into a burger joint, and I had a Coke and fries. I followed her home and made a date for the next weekend. This was the weekend before Thanksgiving. We had a good time. We made a date for the next weekend, and the next, and the next. As I was stationed 75 miles away, we were limited to only seeing each other on weekends, and that's what we did until February. The weekend of February 12th, we got engaged, and I got married 2 weeks later. Next February, it'll be 55 terrific years together. This goes way beyond coincidence, and I thank God for that. My military life, as I said, we got married quickly because I knew I was coming up for orders in July, and I didn't know where I'd be going from July, so we decided we better get married pretty quick so I'd have a little time to live together. As it turned out, in July, I got orders to Detroit, Michigan. After a year in Detroit, I got orders to Anchorage, Alaska, so she got to stay with me the whole time. That gave us a great few years to start a marriage with. From day one, we both agreed that we always wanted children. We even tried a little bit while we were in the service, with no luck. When we got out of the Air Force, we postponed childhood for a while until we get settled in our civilian lives. During this time, we were not very regular churchgoers, maybe 2-3 times a year. After a while, we decided it was time to have children, but again, no luck. There were difficulties in her getting pregnant, and when she did, she would miscarry. Somewhere in all this, we decided we needed to start going to church. We were never disbelievers, just kind of lazy, I guess. The small church we chose was St. Timothy's in Macedonia, Ohio. It was on the opposite side of Cleveland from the church I grew up in, but the first people that greeted us when we went into that church was my sixth grade Sunday school teachers. What a treat to be greeted at a straight church by someone you know and liked. A nice coincidence. And we attended that church until we moved to Connecticut. Shortly after starting at St. Tim's, we confided with a few people about our frustration in not having children. One of our friends says, "Oh, you need to go see Dr. Keefe. He specializes in your situation." So we went to see Dr. Keefe. He properly diagnosed the problem. That's how we had Rusty. 2 years later, he helped us again, and we had Amy. And then when we were trying to decide if we wanted two or three children, the Lord decided three was our number. And so we had Walt. It was no coincidence that we got directed to St. Tim's or to Dr. Keefe. And I thank the Lord for that. Number three, after we'd been in Cleveland for a few years and developed some complicated female issues, the doctor in Cleveland said it couldn't be fixed. He was quite an arrogant old man. He told us that he was the best in town, and if he couldn't fix it, no one could. He even challenged us to go find someone that would disagree with him. He said she would have to have an operation to fix a leakage and then wear, I'm sorry, but a colostomy bag the rest of her life. She was only 38. Before the operation happened, my company transferred me to Hartford, Connecticut. The doctor in Connecticut said that there was a 50-50 chance of a successful operation, and he wanted to try it. The operation was successful. On her final follow-up visit, the doctor said we could thank the Lord for this one. Then he said, "Never mind, I will." The timing of the move to the new and the new doctor were no coincidences, and I thank Jesus for that, and so does Ann. I'm sure as you look back on your life, you can find many coincidences. Go ahead, think for a minute. I'm sure there are many, some large and some small. Now I'm going to stand up here and tell you that Jesus controls every aspect of our life. In fact, I don't believe that he does. I think he leaves us alone mostly. But who's to say next time something goes right in your life, you didn't have a little divine help? He does that all the time. If there was at least three major coincidences, what I know of in my life, how many did I not see? How many did I miss? How many coincidences were in your life? How many have you missed? Let us thank Jesus for all the coincidences in our life. Dear Lord, we thank you for being in our lives. We couldn't handle it without you. We have many things happen to and around us every day. Thank you for being there. So, thank you for helping us, guide us, and protecting us. We know that there are too many coincidences in our lives to not believe that you were there helping us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.